Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Goodness me, it's a minute past the hour, and can it be that another program is already upon us? It can. Oh, yes, it can. It's the middle of the week here at the Horn. It is, in fact, Wednesday. It is hump day. It's downhill to Friday. All kinds of good things. But one thing even better than others, and especially, I say especially this week, this is a special, I suppose, end-of-the-world edition of Prayer Meeting Wednesday, right? I mean, the world ends on Saturday, as noted. Doodle is getting really angry. I heard earlier today, you know, we're separated by a few hours' time. I heard earlier today from our buddy Scott in Sweden. He said, Bob, the rapture this Saturday? My, good news finally. The Horn's financial woes are finally solved. I suggest you take the rest of the week off, go amongst the most evangelical people you can find, and buy from them for about $10 each all of their worldly assets since they won't be needing them. Then, next week, you have a grave moral choice. To wit, do you sell the assets on the market value, turning them out? Do you sell the assets at market value, turning them out, or sell them back to them for about 100-to-1 and teach them a lesson? In any case, we make money. On the other hand, if they really are raptured away, hooray, hooray, hooray! And you get to go and pick the house with the most intact roof and large enough room for your studio. It's a win-win situation if ever there was one. Signed, Scott. And it is. It is. I've been looking at likely-looking properties all afternoon, as a matter of fact. Agnes had to go get the kids out of school and take them to the dentist. And I told her to keep an eye out, too. And we're looking for just that. Potentially large studio room and non-leaky roof. Well, in this case, more like non-sieve-like roof. We're gathering data. But you know what? The problem with fundies is they are bet hedgers. Oh, they've been told that the world's going to end May the 21st. But you know what? Just in case it doesn't, or just in case it turns out that they didn't quite make the cut, because remember, nobody knows until the last minute who made the cut. It's kind of like the NFL. Well, it's actually even more uncertain than the NFL draft. You hedge your bets. You do. You hedge your bets. So if it all does go sideways, I mean, I just can't see me or Agnes, or, but you know what? You don't know. Maybe we are the good guys. Maybe y'all are the good guys. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure that neither I nor you nor anyone else is sitting there sweating out the deep theological question of will we rapture fully clothed or will we rapture naked? Like I've said before, I think it would be to the benefit of the sinners on the ground if it was rapture fully clothed, but I can see how that might not work out. But wouldn't that be a big joke on them? Goodbye, Christians! Goodbye! Goodbye, Baptists. Goodbye, fundamentalists. Goodbye. Looking over and going, wait a minute. You're an agnostic. What are you doing here? I have no idea. But it could be that, it could very well be, that if there's a rapture, it would be of the decent people. And that certainly lets almost every grade of fundamentalist out of the equation. It is, but any way you slice it, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. There was a lovely fellowship dinner just a little bit ago down to the fellowship hall. You know, it's a little bit embarrassing when you see the deacon sitting there elbowing a 9-year-old out of the way trying to get to the pie. But the pies are good. That's how good they are. But everybody's gone upstairs now, and the deacons are wiping the blueberry stains off their chins. And we are getting ready for prayer meeting Wednesday here on the Horn, brethren and sistren. So, by all means, let's get the deacons. You can get them upstairs, but then you got to herd them back in out of the parking lots. Those deacons, they like to stand out there smoking with the heathens in the parking lot. It's been that way ever since the strip joint started protesting out there. They're witnessing. They keep telling me they're witnessing. Yeah, they're witnessing, all right. So we'll herd them back in here through the foyer, past the 25-year-old butter mints in the dish there. You know, those things are just about all stuck together. You couldn't get them loose with a jackhammer. And we'll get them in here. In the meantime, we will ask the Minister of Music to come up and lead us in our offertory hymn. And I have good news for you, brethren and sistren. While I was out witnessing today to the heathen and the unsaved, I returned only to find a $20 contribution tucked under the door of the sanctuary here. Which means that with the success of yesterday's fundraising and that, we only have to raise, get this, I mean, you know, don't everybody rush to the plate or anything, we only have to raise $40 tonight to meet the Cathedral of Common Sense's fundraising goal for this prayer meeting Wednesday. Just $40. That's 4 times 10. 4 people, $10. 8 people. You get the idea. That's pretty exciting. I don't think that's happened in a while. Praise, it may be signs of the rapture after all. So, as the Minister of Music leads us in our opening hymn, we'll pass the plate around. You'll notice the little button that says PayPal in the bottom of the snail mail address of the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Either one's fine. Let's just get that out of the way so we can do some sure enough witnessing, sure enough celebrating, and just be downright jubilee on this Rapture Week prayer meeting edition of the Horn. That's right. Now, Brother Minister of Music, if you would please lead us in our hymn.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest. He'd be rolling in the dough.
When people tell us, no, we're not going to build it.
Praise
the
Lord,
America
this
song's
out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven. to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free.
What's up, Ross? On the real ride, a brawler, brawler, suet. I love you. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on Horn. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. Come on down that blood-red carpet, brethren and sistren, and fall on your knees in front of the altar and put your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am exalted Senior Rabbi Archpope. I got a promotion this week. Yeah, that's right. Senior Rabbi, Archpope, Exalted Imam, and Genuine Shaman, Bob Kincaid. And this is the Cathedral of Common Sense Glory. Hallelujah. A reminder to those who will be rapturing. If any of you are, and we all have our flaws and our faults, I understand. But if any of you happen to have any a cache of Cuban cigars, which you periodically indulge yourself in as a reminder of your mortality and your fleshly failings, you may leave them to me. Don't want your cat. Don't want your dog. I'll take your Porsche. But if you've got a few humidors of Cubans laying around, you can leave them to me, and you may trust me that I will daily offer up a burnt sacrifice of one of them for your well-being, if need be, every hour on the hour. Because somebody's already gotten in on the dodge about taking care of your kitty cat and your parrot and your dog and your pet tarantula and stuff, rapture-ready pet care. You know, we predicted that. Long-time Horn listeners will recall back when we had a magnificent little show called The Horn Section. It was John Fox, Peter Godbold, and me for an hour. It was some of the best fun I've ever had behind a microphone with clothing on. We actually predicted this. I don't know. Lottie, do you remember? Betsy, do you? But we predicted that there would rise up an industry of people taking care of rapture people's stuff. You know, something I forgot to do. There's a Rapture Ready website, and I've forgotten to go. I need to go over there and take a peek here in the next day or so just to see how much hopping and hooting's going on. But they've got the Rapture Ready pet care, and I wish I could build a website. I really do, because I would have rapture-ready exotic European sports car care like that. I mean, right here in West Virginia, I know there's some Porsche-driving rapture believers. And I'd hate to think of them floating up into the clouds and worrying about whether or not the oil is going to be... You know, an air-cooled Porsche engine requires an oil change of 11 quarts. It's not like you just drive into Jiffy Lube and get one of those. I mean, there's a wet sump and a dry sump. You want somebody to take care of that really, really understands, so that as you're flying up into the clouds and that beautiful little cabrio turbocharged piece of masterful Teutonic engineering is sitting there, you don't want to be worrying about your Porsche 911 when you're getting ready to meet Jesus in the clouds. So that's my little niche. Rapture Ready car, exotic foreign sports car care, and Cuban cigar burnt offering making. So can we do that? Just pass it around. I mean, if you happen to know some fundy who's sweating, I don't know what I'm going to do with all these Cuban cigars. Send them to Bob. He'll take good care of them for you. And every day he'll offer one up in a burnt sacrifice for the good of your soul. Because Bob is just that... Bob is just that considerate
Bob is just that concerned for your peace of mind as you fly into the clouds. Could we do that? So that's where we find ourselves this evening on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And I want to start Prayer Meeting Wednesday, now that we're up here in the pulpit and so forth, with a story that Lottie sent in a couple of nights ago that just kind of had to be hung on to for this particular Wednesday evening. It comes from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Moral Volcano and Battle Cry of Freedom. Right. Dan Miller, writing for the Patriot News, headline, update, Newville pastor admits lying about Navy SEAL service. Note, the Reverend Jim Motes on Sunday came forward and said he was not a former member of the Navy SEALs. Penn Live and the Patriot News will have more on this story later. Okay. This is the original story he told. Somebody cue up some Battle Hymn of the Republic or something, would you? Maybe some snare drums. Where's that boy of mine, snare drumming boy of mine when I need him? When he learned of the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, the Reverend Jim Motes almost got out his old Navy SEAL flag to run up the pole in front of his home in Newville. Motes was a Navy SEAL 4 decades ago during the war in Vietnam. Now 59, Motes was a brash, athletic 19-year-old from a military family in Northern Virginia who enlisted in 1970. An expert swimmer and high school lifeguard, Motes was put on the road to becoming a SEAL by a commander who asked him to sign up for one of the underwater demolition teams. Navy SEALs, the acronym refers to elite teams trained to fight anywhere on sea, air, and land, emerged from President John F. Kennedy's speech about putting a man on the moon, in which JFK also pledged to expand the nation's special operations capability. Motes underwent SEAL training at Little Creek Amphibious Base in Virginia Beach in summer 1971. Instructors hit SEALs and goaded them to quit. He was subjected to waterboarding because the Navy knew that's what the Vietnamese did to SEALs and air crew members who were captured. SEALs were kept going for days with little sleep. The instructors would lie, promising sleep or a break, but when the time came, it wouldn't happen. Motes grew accustomed to the physical part because he was in good shape. The mental barrages were more grueling.
I had almost no discipline. I was as wild as they came. That was my nemesis, Motes said. They weren't looking for a guy who brags to everyone he is a SEAL. They wanted somebody who was ready but had an inner confidence and didn't have a braggadocio attitude. In August 1971,
Motes got into a fight in a club. He went from Navy elite to dishwashing as part of a mandated attitude adjustment. Motes soon after rededicated his life to God. He could have gone back to the SEALs, but decided to commit the rest of his Navy time to less intense duty, allowing him to focus on preparing for the ministry. Motes said there wasn't anything about being a SEAL that prevented him from pursuing his faith. He just felt he didn't have the inner discipline to do both at the same time. He got out of the Navy in 1974 and went to Bob Jones University in South Carolina. He became pastor of the Newville Church 5 years ago. Today you might never know Motes was ever a SEAL unless you saw a plaque in his office.
They don't talk about those things, Robert Musley said of former SEALs.
Musley, who lives near Philadelphia, is the contact for the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware chapter of the UDT SEAL Association, an organization of former SEALs.
Musley was a SEAL for 32 years until retiring in 1986. His SEAL class started with 118 candidates and graduated 13, an attrition rate typical for SEALs.
We would run 5 miles daily every morning, followed by an hour of physical training. An instructor would come to us while we were doing jumping jacks and blow cigar smoke in our face. The harassment was unbelievable.
He got 11 hours of sleep during Hell Week, a period of intense SEAL training to weed out those who can't take it. Musley remembers running 26 miles in ankle boots through sand dunes and swimming 7 miles against the current, uphill both ways.
The big football players didn't last for more than a week, he said. Instructors pushed people to their limit and beyond, and those who could go beyond made it.
Musley said former SEALs are low-key and quiet, and the same is true of those serving today.
Nobody is looking for any accolades, he said. They want this thing over and done with and keep moving. Nobody knew who we were and what we did, and that's how we like to keep it.
Except for one problem. The Reverend Jim Motes, graduate of Bob Jones University, you know, the university where dark-skinned people aren't allowed to be seen associating with, and by people I mean males, are not allowed to be seen associating with white-skinned women, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's South Carolina, come on. Bob Jones University graduate. Oh, there was a photograph in the Patriot News of the Reverend Jim Motes with a flagstaff in his hand, the flag, Old Glory, billowing out behind him, and him looking heavenward as though using the eagle on the top of the flag as some sort of sighting instrument toward the land of the rapture. The Reverend Jim Motes is a lying sack of crap. He's part of a phenomenon that with which the military has a real problem, and that is phony baloney people pretending that they were something in the military that they were not. You remember the story we had a couple of months ago about the guy who was a chaplain in Afghanistan, who went out and bought himself some Airborne Ranger Roger Ramjet insignia or something and wore it around to make himself more impressive to those people that he was trying to bring to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that? Yeah, me too. It is an epidemic inside the military. And they're almost always of a similar type. It's almost predictable. The guy in Afghanistan had come from a military family that had jet pilots and generals and admirals of the ocean seas, and there he was, a tennis player. But not for long. Went out and bought himself some insignia, and the next thing you know, he was a combat airborne plane-jumping ranger badge chaplain preacher. But you see, it comes easy to somebody like the Reverend Jim Motes because he's hustling BS already. Everything he says in the pulpit, every Sunday that he's there, is a load of crap. So why not just add a little more crap to the resume, right? Well, I'll bet you Dan Miller of the Patriot News feels like a real chump. Should we send him one of Reverbo's bumper stickers? Well chumped! Writing all that purple prose when he learned of the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, the Reverend Jim Motes almost got out his old Navy SEAL flag to run up the pole in front of his home in Newville. Can you imagine? Well, sadly, yes, I can. there's a cult of personality and a cult of failure and fear of failure that attends all of this that makes weak people with a taste for fantasy break down to it. I wish horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner wasn't keeping such weird hours these days. I'd love to hear him opine about these frauds. These people who ride on the backs of those who have really done the work. Who have really been put through the annealing process of the refiner's fire. It's like the title of the latest book from Bart Ehrman that the publisher won't put on Kindle. Fraud. Fraud. This guy traffics in fraud. And so how difficult would it be for him to go ahead and sort of fraudulize his own existence? But the question remains, why does he need to do it? Why is it that fundamentalist Christianity, because you have to remember that Bob Jones University in South Carolina is about as fundy as they come. You know, a lot of schools, if you enroll with them, like down to Berea College or University of North Carolina, maybe Williams, you know, it's happening all over. Incoming freshmen get a laptop computer to use. Well, at Bob Jones, you get a bottle of strychnine and an ice cold rattlesnake. I mean, that's what kind of hardcore weirdos they are. But this right wing, of all things Christian, so-called fetishization of the military is absolutely, well, that. It could be a special on the National Geographic Channel if they ever have time to stop talking about aliens building pyramids. God, I saw that the other day. Not the National Geographic Channel, not that. Oh, I understand TLC and the History Channel. Not National Geographic, but there it was. Did aliens help to build the pyramids in Egypt? And it's always done that way, you know, it's a question, it's never a statement. Not aliens helped build the pyramids, and did they? What? Marveline, I don't know. What do you think? I'm just not sure, Rofert. I think perhaps they were angels like in the book of Ezekiel. But there's a cult within right-wing fundamentalist Christianity that absolutely comes near really idolizing the military and special operations units like this. Can't you just hear the sermon he preached before he fessed up? You wonder if he fessed up because somebody got on his trail and he realized that he was going to be exposed, or does the Reverend Jim Motes still have a conscience? I'm betting against the conscience. He's a fundamentalist. But we don't know. And, of course, in sending the story to me, Lottie, our moderator in the chat room, posed a question. He said, the part that bothers me the most is their need to impress their congregations with tales about war and killing and their congregations' desire to hear such stories and relate to them. If they have to make stuff up, why don't they make up stories about how they feed the poor or care for the sick? Why a glorified killing machine? Christianity, says Lottie, really is the cult of death. Jesus is just a convenient cover that they use to mollify their flock. And it was upon that day that Jesus looked to his disciples and said, "Disciples, pick up thy Browning automatic rifles and thy spare ammunition and follow me, and I shall make you killers of men." Right? No, the Reverend Jim Motes didn't make up any stories about all the people he whose lives he helped save, or the people he fed, or the people, all of that stuff from the Book of Matthew about all the people he visited in prison. No, because it's not sexy, and it's not bloody. And if you were to ask our dearly departed pal Joe Bagent, he might tell you that it also doesn't work well with the Scots-Irish. Because we never have been much good at the sweet lammy business. We want a God that we can kill for just about any reason. Our dear friend Jude out in Washington State says, "My daughter Carrie came up with a good point, Bob. The rapture group is willing to leave their beloved pets to those who will not be raptured. In other words, heathens." It's all so insane and such a loss of critically needed energy for this planet, which is so true. But also implicit in the idea that one's pets will be, quote-unquote, left behind is the assumption that I think many of us normal, decent people reject, and that is that animals ain't... Well, okay, I mean, okay. And look, it's a soul. Nobody's ever measured one, weighed one, quantified one, qualified one, seen one, heard one, felt one, tasted one, or smelt one. There is no proof of the soul aside from the fact that the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Greeks bandied back and forth about the motivating spirit was that made humans, living humans, different from dead humans. No proof. So, if you're going to talk about souls, I mean, you might as well give one to everything. It was early this morning when I got an email in from Jennifer. Or, I'm sorry, Jeanette. Jeanette. And she sent me some excerpts from... remarks by a man named John Trudell, who is of the Santee Sioux. And she kindly highlighted some of it for me, and I couldn't help thinking of it in this regard, in this respect. He says, "We are forms of the earth. All the things of the earth have the same DNA as the human does. The shape is just different. And the purpose is different. We have being. That's our essence. That's our spirit. And all of the things of the earth have the same DNA as the human has, so all the things of the earth have being, spirit. And our relationship to power and reality is in that understanding of who we are. Nothing will ever change that reality. What has changed is our perceptional relationship to reality." Anybody ever feel something's missing from their life, like purpose or understanding or self-worth? They're mining us. One of the objectives has got to do with erasing the memories of the human beings because we have a common collective experience. We are the descendants of tribes. Back in the time of the original dream, see, we were all tribes and we were all the earth's children. And we all knew that the earth was our mother and that we were part of a spiritual reality and we were physical in a spiritual reality. We carry the genetic experience of our lineage from the very beginning, like a genetic memory. Every one of our beginning ancestral peoples understood that life was about responsibility for the past and the future as well as the present. This reality lives in our genetic memory. It's that 90% of the brain they tell us we can't use, so they're using us. We're made up of the same thing. Our shape is different. That's all, and our function is different because our shape is different. The fears and doubts and insecurities that we have in our lives within our own personal reality
about who we are, the things that others don't see, and that kind of a haze. We do not see and recognize clearly who we are, and we're never encouraged to. We all understand that in this technologic reality that we live, they can take the DNA of the earth that is called uranium, and it has being spirit, and they put it through a mining refinement process and convert the being part of that uranium into a form of electrical energy, and they call it power, but it's a mutated form of power. And after this kind of process, there's a toxic waste and there's poison left over from it, and we know they do it with fossils. Take that old dinosaur DNA and put it through the mining refining process and convert the being of that DNA into a form of energy that runs again another electrical system and that also leaves behind its pollutions. And yet, because that book that they read says that they are to take dominion over the earth, these fundamentalists say things like, well, dogs and cats and cows and sheep and pigs ain't got no soul. So they'll leave it, their soulless animal pets to be cared for by some individual whose soul is pre-damned. Because they're atheist. Because God loved them so much that he's willing to torture them for all eternity for not offering sufficient fairy tale obeisance to a deity that doesn't deign to show itself in any material form and thus make it, you know, easy. Otherwise, it's just a crapshoot. Oh, boxcars! What did Shakespeare say? We are the stuff that dreams are made of. We understand more and more that the line between reality and dreaming is thinner than we ever imagined. And so these blessed animals are, in their twisted, sick, fundamentalist theologies, left to fend for themselves while the rest of the, while their so-called owners go to sing hallelujah and jubilation in the clouds. Yeah. So that's where we start this prayer meeting Wednesday, and plenty of other things to do as well. By the way, since I have laid claim to exotic foreign sports cars, and I need to amend this, lest I, my shallowness is showing. I'm laying claim to exotic foreign sports cars, Cuban cigars, and most importantly, roofs that don't leak. And with that in mind, our blogger, Texas Betsy, has laid claim to, she says, I'll be taking care of flat-screen TVs and iPads during the rapture. She also wonders if Balaam's talking she-donkey gets raptured. I figured the donkey was dead by now, Betsy. One old donkey. Oh, it's only the, well, no, the dead rise up out of the grave. Sorry, Betsy, you know the Christian theology better than I do, dadgummit. News Ninja Susan says, I'll lay claim to all advanced computer systems so that I can program prayers on behalf of the computer owner for all eternity. Isn't there a business out there? Isn't there some sort of a CompuPrayer, cyber prayer outfit out there? Oh my God, yes there is. Okay, Susan gets that. Get in! I mean, you know, this is prayer meeting Wednesday, and we've only got, I mean, you can't have everything. You gotta just, remember, non-leaking roofs, Cuban cigars, and exotic foreign sports cars. That's me. And I'm taking that, I'm cornering all of that, because I think I can attend to all of it. I can attend to the Porsches, under a nicely roofed garage,
while offering up a burnt sacrifice of some of Cuba's finest flour from the Pinar del Rio region. I prefer Trinidad's, if you, but they'll all, you know, Monte Cristo, Partagas, it doesn't matter. It's okay. As long as they're not the cell. No, I don't want no cheap-ass fundamentalists leaving me a bunch of cellophane-wrapped phony Cubans that he bought on that trip to Bogota one time and picked up from the dude outside the airport. No! So, you know, get in, pick out your corner, and because we don't want anybody, squabbling in the aftermath of the rapture as we watch them all flying up into the clouds, right? Right. So we'll take a break, and we will come back to your calls. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Remember, we can make Bob shut up about fundraising with four people kicking in $10. That's how easy it is, and I'll do that. I promise that you have my... probably not going to rapture word on it, which means I'll still be around for you to accuse of being a jackass, speaking of Balaam, if I do. But I won't make that mistake. So let the headonradionetwork.com. The tab says contribute, and the PayPal button's right there. So is the snail mail address. We will be right back on the horn.
Oh,
REM and Animal here on the horn at about 15 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's middle of the week, prayer meet edition of the horn. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm talking to myself.
Hello.
Hello.
Wow, I missed a ch sound.
Well, okay. Sorry about that. Well, you were probably playing with that new toaster you won the other night.
Actually, no. I was actually listening to the stream. The casual no-no, what you do in radio. You never do that. You never listen to the stream because you're on a 30-second delay or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the latency, whatever the latency of the internet is. We don't actually run a delay here.
Yeah. Yeah, it says some crazy things happening with the Cornel West situation. I think everything that he said, in my opinion, I think everything that he said went out the window as soon as he said, you know, I think Barack Obama has a fear of his black side.
No, see, I think everything went out the window when he said, and he wouldn't give me tickets to the inauguration.
Oh yeah, that too. I mean, if including all of that, it just seemed as it will just seem as petty and viciousness and all of that.
Exactly.
And, I don't, and see, that's the thing about it is that I think people need to understand when you release articles and statements and quotes to the media that they're going to latch on to anything to undermine the main message that was being made.
Yeah.
Well, what could they say if he talked about working class and the decline of the status of living, the thing with the plutocrats and Wall Street and everything involving that? What could they literally wouldn't be able to have to they couldn't grasp onto that much. But now, you see, Cornel West learns a valuable lesson, how you get thrown under the bus even faster than you thought you could get thrown under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, he went under the bus with extreme prejudice at the speed of light, right?
Right. I think this is where a thing where they said, not to be cool, but they saw him under the bus and they said, wait a minute, you're still alive? Come here, you.
Put it in reverse. Put it in reverse. Back it up.
Yeah.
Beep, I mean, that's... beep, beep, beep. Yeah.
So, I mean, with that craziness, and then you have the... I'm sure you paid attention to what the Obama campaign did for the launch of the Corsi book.
Oh, yes, I did see that. They're mocking it very nicely.
Yeah.
Offering people a birth certificate T-shirt or a Barack Obama birth certificate coffee mug.
I thought it was interesting. They actually sent a campaign letter. I wouldn't have done this though. And they mentioned Corsi's name and did a little bio.
Right. You never, you know, unless you're exercise. Well, maybe this was an exorcism. You never mention the demon's name unless you're doing an exorcism.
Well, I mean, you know what's going to... it's going to fuel more attention for the book, and the dummies are going to buy it up even more. I mean, you have to wonder if...
Yeah, it's going to be the Rush Limbaugh call-out all over again.
Well, and you know, you go on Amazon, and Amazon shows the people are fighting over the ratings. They're having a lot of dummy ratings come in, rating at 4 stars. I think right now it's like at 3.5 stars. But, I mean... The whole battle and the whole war of perception, I wouldn't have mentioned his name. I wouldn't have mentioned any. I would have just put out the shirt. I would have put out the mug. And I would have just said, donate here.
Right.
But I don't know about this because...
You are giving voice to the same misgivings I had when I read my email earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, who... see, the weird thing about it is, Who introduced? I mean, even the Kerry campaign didn't introduce him.
Yeah, let's see. This comes from Juliana Smoot,
right,
at BarackObama.com to Bob. Let me introduce you to Jerome Corsi. This week he released a new book that the publisher says will be a bestseller of historic proportions. The title is, Where's the Birth Certificate? Yes, really. Corsi's work is a greatest hits reel of delusions ranging from 9/11 conspiracies to claiming that there is an infinite supply of oil in the Earth's core. In 2008, I love that one. That one just won't go away, Dave. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Created by some Russian scientist on, I don't know, badly fermented beet juice or something. In 2008, he published a book about Barack Obama claiming, among other things, that he is a secret Muslim, is secretly anti-military, secretly dealt drugs, and D, secretly supported terrorist actions when he was 8 years old. So many secrets. And then finally they say, there's really no way to make this stuff completely go away. The only thing we can do is laugh at it and make sure as many other people as possible are in on the joke. So let's just do this. Get your Obama birth certificate mug here.
You know, I just saw Farah put on the site, he actually had the audacity to say, well, it just goes to show you that the White House is playing dirty tricks. It's like, what fun house am I in?
Because these are political dirty tricks. But you know what really made the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck? If you look at the email, it says, get your Made in the USA mug, donate today.
Yeah.
And it's a Made in the USA mug because it's got a picture of Barack Obama, and underneath it, the words, Made in the USA. Okay? And on the other side of the mug, there's a picture of the birth certificate.
Uh-huh.
It's going to turn out to be a real pain in the ass for the Obama campaign when somebody orders one of these and sees the little sticker on the bottom that says...
Made in China.
Duh. I'm just saying, I don't know this to be a fact, but I would, you know... I got $5 that says it's made in China mug.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same presidential administration that selected the single most anti-union state in the entire United States to hold the Democratic convention in 2012.
I have to wonder if how many people how frightened they are of this. Of this birther nonsense going another level, because I mean somebody must be pumping them with the information. It's obvious that they're going to the website and they're checking out the blogs and stuff. My thing is I would have never mentioned his name. I wouldn't even mention his first name. I wouldn't even mention the book title. I mean, nobody cares. See, the thing about it is, the thing that makes World News Daily Publishing so diabolical is the fact that it's basically a smear publishing clearinghouse. But what they do is they say, Jerome, lay off on the Kerry book. Why don't you write a book on one of your interesting, fascinating topics that you like to talk about, like avionic oil? Come back in another 2 years.
That's the phrase? Thank you.
Yeah. I mean,
abiotic oil.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of little Keebler elves down in wearing asbestos suits in the center of the earth making new oil all the time.
That's the conspiracy, right? It's not dinosaurs.
It's Keebler elves.
It's just Keebler elves, right? And the that to me is interesting in itself, how that's going to play out and how many people are going to continue to buy into the birther nonsense and be able to pump it up even to levels that the Obama campaign isn't anticipating. So I don't know, but that's something to definitely look out for. The other thing I just saw in the news is from Jerusalem Post. The Iranian FM says Bushehr nuclear plant is operational. You know what that means, Bob?
I hope I don't know what that means, but I kind of think I know what that means.
It means a metropolitan. It means a Boston.
Oh, can he get there on one engine? Oh, if he's a good one and he flies real low, and suddenly you've got these visions of George C. Scott as General Buck Turgeon. Can he get there? Hell yes, he can get there. Oh, wait.
Can you imagine if the Republicans were in office, they would be offering a live Ustream from the nuclear power reactor? Subscribe now so you can see the bombing live.
No kidding.
Ustream.
And you'll notice, I mean, isn't this convenient?
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, I'm not pulling out my aluminum foil helmet. It's an aluminum foil helmet, by the way, not tin foil. It's an aluminum foil helmet.
Right.
I don't know where you can still buy tin foil. That stuff's precious.
Oh, you just made me think of another.
But I'm not putting my aluminum foil helmet on, but isn't it curious that we done tested out some of our special super-duper Roger Ramjet bunker-busting bombs over there in Libya just in time for the startup of the Bushehr nuclear power plant in Iran?
It makes you wonder what the plan really is for Iran. But I will say this. I mean, there is no allusion to what the GOP and the neoconservatives want to do when Michael Ledeen's blog is called Faster, Please.
Ew.
That's all you need to know. That's it. There is no.
I mean, that's right. I mean, why not just read? Well, it's probably copyrighted or trademarked. You know, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That would be a great one. We have a lot of things happening in Crazy Town, and then we have that thing with Newt Gingrich and Glitter.
Oh, I love that. But I love far better, David. I love the somewhere between. And I love the wealthy class and the way they put things. Do you have any debts in excess of $10,000? Well, yeah. Got a debt, a revolving credit account with Tiffany and Company of New York City, New York.
Mm.
How much is that? You know, it's somewhere between $250,000, but who's counting? Really? Newt Gingrich,
wow,
has a credit account at Tiffany's, revolving in nature, whose balance is somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000. And for what? I mean, the silver. I don't know. Maybe when you're as old as Newt is. Maybe you buy the silver-plated marital aids or something at Tiffany's because, you know, to keep the young and lovely Callista happy. Dear God, I hate myself.
You know, it's funny. I just had the image of the reason why Newt is getting so much hatred and so many people are throwing him under the bus. I think part of the reason is maybe one day he tried a power play in their cigar room, and he said, "Listen here, I'm the Mac Daddy, and whatever I say goes. Check out my resume. Check out my track record. I've been on so many talk shows. I've been on so much talk radio. I've done so many conventions. I know what to do." And after a while, the Republicans got together, and they're like, "Oh, God, we got to get rid of this guy."
Yeah, by the way, Texas Betsy has given him a new name.
Yeah.
Newt Blingrich.
Newt, well, you know, that is a great... That would be a great rap name.
I wonder if he went there in the conservative Maybach mobile.
The conservative Maybach mobile, you know.
But the best part of it was the first time somebody tried to ask him about his little Tiffany's problem.
Yeah.
Because really, when you're running for president and you've got $250,000 to $500,000 Tiffany's revolving credit account that you're not sure what the balance is just any given moment, you know, those things change.
Hmm.
When somebody asks you about it and you answer, "Well, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about how I'm going to save America. I'm not going to talk about that." Next thing it'll be, "Why are you trying to impugn the honor and integrity of my darling third or fourth or whatever it is wife? What's her name again? My third wife ain't got cancer yet." You say, you know? I mean, that one, the one Pig Lickin showed up in Iowa, yesterday or the night before? Get out of the race before you embarrass yourself anymore. It's getting ugly out there for the Newtsy.
It is getting ugly out there, and it makes me wonder. I'm still torn in between, do the Republicans want to win in 2012? Do they care to win? Are they just waiting for the bottom of the economy to fall out? What is it?
No, see, I think that I'm at that very cynical place, David, where I'm convinced that this is all just dumb show. It's mummery. It's They don't want it.
If they don't want it, they should just give it to Herman Cain.
Herman Cain may come out and take it from them.
You know what? That's right.
I mean, you know, Herman's tough.
And you can imagine how much money he would get, considering he's a black candidate.
Oh.
Like next to nothing.
From the Republican Party?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he'd get Alan West as his campaign manager. And I want to be careful. I don't want to go somewhere I don't want to be on this. But
oh, yeah.
No. The Republicans would, you know, frankly, Herman Cain fits within the current Republican strategy. You know, in 2008, it was, look, we got a woman. They got rid of they ain't got no woman. They're a bunch of sexists, them Democrats. They got that one. Look here, we got a woman, and she's a fundamentalist, and she can talk in tongues and everything.
Even the black man knows the liberal agenda is dangerous to America.
Jesus. I know.
You look at what's happening, and what was it? Bill Maher was on TV yesterday. And he was talking about he was already ramping Bill Maher up. So who do you think's going to win the election? Like, give me a break. Think it's going to be Newt Gingrich? I'm like, you can't be.
Well, and of course, Bill O'Reilly asked John Stewart, name a Republican candidate for president you like.
I heard about this, but I didn't see.
No, that was funny. That was really funny. He said, well, I don't know, if you opened a box called Republican presidential candidate and pulled him out, it would probably look like Mitt Romney. And then asked him about Michelle Bachmann, and poor John Stewart could just sort of look at all he could do was look at the ceiling. And
It's interesting how many people go to, you know, because I'm sure you don't hear this as well. Do you really hear the name O'Reilly?
No.
In daily conversation?
No. You know what's sad is Fox is so far over the sharks now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're jumping sharks daily. That poor Bill O'Reilly has become the normal one, which sort of puts him down there with Shepard Smith in the Fox gulag.
Oh. Well, that's a bad place to be right there.
No kidding. I don't imagine there was anybody happier to see Glenn Beck not coming back than Bill O'Reilly, because that means he gets to go back to being a lunatic.
Well, before I go, I just want to mention that I have dibs on the rapture-ready precious metals and gemstones.
Okay. Well, aren't we just a little ambitious?
And derivatives.
Let's just wrap it up in a tidy little Tiffany's package and say you'll take the credit default swaps along the way.
Well, you know what? Now you're thinking. I like your vision. I think you could work for me, Bob.
I think I probably could, David. But
so many rapture-ready divisions. You know what's scary about it is the fact that all of these fictitious businesses, they are equal to very successful businesses, if you think about it. In the financial markets, in the financial sector, they're equal to these. You get the same, you just get an idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Buy Gold Now. I mean, gold is hustled hourly on Fox with a purely apocalyptic approach. When the dollar finally collapses, gold will be your only hope. Buy it and have it sewn inside your skin. You know, I mean, isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah, that's basically what they're doing. You have to wonder. I wonder how many companies out there are actually just selling chocolate when they do the gold coins. And they just, you know, they just so when they send people a lot of coins, they layer it and they counterfeit like two or five different layers.
Well, you know, every December when Hanukkah comes around, one of the little traditional gifts, and I'll of course defer to Texas Betsy for this, is Hanukkah geld.
Mm.
And they're little gold foil wrapped chocolate coins.
Well, I'm familiar with those. Yeah.
So,
to me, those are more valuable than gold because it's sweet and you can eat it. You can't eat gold. What can you do with it?
Well, you must remember, David, that in former times, chocolate, in particular cacao beans themselves, have been used as a unit of currency. There's never been a better time to buy cocoa. Cocoa is one of your best hedges against not having Toll House cookies. Right?
The thing about gold is the fact is you really couldn't make change with it. What could you make change with it when you try to buy something?
You ever seen an American $10 gold piece?
I don't think so, no.
It's smaller than an M&M. It's about two-thirds the size of an M&M.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, in the movies you see them, you know, biting the money.
Yeah.
That's how thin they were. But if it was, you know, you couldn't, you know. Right.
Gives whole new meaning to the term microloans, huh?
No kidding.
All right, Bob, I'm going to let other callers get on the line, but.
Okay, so you've got gemstones, precious metals, derivatives, and credit default swaps.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll add more. Maybe I should just put et cetera on there.
No, et ceteras are not legal.
Acceptable.
No, I've got roof, sports cars, and Cuban cigars.
Oh.
Susan has bling and computer systems. Betsy has flat screen TVs and iPads.
Mm.
But leave it to you, David. Oh no, you know, you remember Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Remember when Lucy is complaining about Christmas and she says, every year I get these dolls and playhouses and tea sets and I never get what I want. And Charlie Brown innocently looks at her and says, well, what do you want, Lucy? And she says, real estate. You're our Lucy.
Oh, man.
Gemstones, precious metals, credit default swaps, and derivatives.
Well, I hate to take the football from a lot of people, but, you know, that's...
Well, we need somebody who's going to be able to market it, though, so I think you're logical for this.
Well, it will be interesting to see if the rapture-ready business will start to be extremely lucrative, and a lot of people will just jump on the train with it as the times start to get even more crazy for a lot of people in this world.
Oh, but, my goodness. Yeah, I got to share this with you before you go.
Yeah.
With regard to Newt Blingreen.
Yeah.
Newt Blingrich. David in Tennessee. Bob, are you saying Newt is the diamond dildoed stud? Or were you speaking about diamond studded dildos? Just asking. Oh, thanks for helping, David. What, do you guys get together before the show and just figure out how you're going to make my life difficult?
I'll tell you what, before I go, my favorite new thing is when I heard the term that he's a living bobblehead. Because now every time I look at him, I go, holy shit, he is. All right, Bob, I'll talk to you later.
See you, David. Bye now.
Later.
Diamond-encrusted zircon-plated tweezers. Isn't that what Frank Zappa said? Yeah. By the way, Jim says Newt probably goes to... You people! Jim says Newt probably goes to Tiffany's for his tiara. I got mine there! Oh, God. Let's see. Darlene writing in. Brother Bob. This is question and answer hour with Brother Bob. Brother Bob, what will be the Fundy Faith Head's excuse if and when the rapture does not occur this weekend? Well, here's how that goes, Darlene. Brethren and sisters, we were all looking toward our great meeting in the sky. We were waiting for granny and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and all to rise up. And the dead rise up from the sea first. Wait a minute, that didn't mean a psalm. Oh, dear. And we were all anxious for that meeting in the clouds, after which we would get to put the Jews to the sword. Oh, we were ready. We were ready, brethren and sisters, but clearly our faith was not enough. It is not his fault, for perfect is he, and perfect is he in all ways. Amen and amen. It is the flaw of us, sinful humankind, that our faith was not enough to draw our Savior down from the celestial plane. That's how that works. And then, you know, Pastor Whackbottom goes back home, you know, pulls into the garage in the Porsche, goes into the study, opens the humidor, pulls out a Monte Cristo A that's 9 inches long by, you know, about 52 ring gauge, puffs it up and says, "Thank God, I kind of like it down here." Right? About the size of it, isn't it? Oh, yeah, well, Jim is ready for the rapture. He says, "I'm wearing that my tiara right now." David in Tennessee has laid down his marker. "After the rapture, I want all the flat, scratch-free vinyl LPs, 45s, EPs. All are fine by me. My linear tracking techniques with the Ortofon cartridge loves them all." Oh, Brother David, be careful of that for which you pray and wish and lust in thy heart. "For yea, verily, there are yet in warehouses all around America entirely pristine, pressed on Colombian pure virgin polyvinyl, copies of the Happy Goodman family live at the Barton, Alabama Civic Center. And yea, verily, they shall all be yours." Well, you know, it's nice to see that some people can keep it real. Clayton just wants the hookers. You people. What if I started? Oh, my God. Oh, where is the Happy Goodman family when I need them? I promise I won't do it. I will not do it. I will not subject you. I will not subject you to Jesus. This is Jimmy. But by God, there it is. No, Bob. Bad talk host. Bad. No, but I will subject you to this. We'll take a little break and come back to your calls. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Time runs out, brethren and sistren, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Write in, call in, say it in the chat room, but make your profession of faith, hallelujah, glory. And declare today what you will care for on earth, as our blessed brethren and sistren fly up into the sky. The hookers are gone. The good vinyl's gone. The bling, the computer systems, the gemstones, precious metals, derivatives, credit default swaps, roofs that don't leak, Cuban cigars, and exotic foreign sports cars are all gone. But that still leaves a lot of nice real estate. Got any golfers out there? Might be some good golf courses left over. Be a lovely place for me to drive to while I'm road testing and caring for one of them exotic foreign sports cars and honking on brother the good brothers Monte Cristo A's. Right. So let not your light hide underneath yonder bushel, but light 'em up and ring 'em in. This is the horn.
Sex to little Jesus. Sex has been a travel team ever since she's 12. She felt the world close in her and thought she needed help. Listening to the radio on a Sunday.
Jesus all the time.
Come and dine.
And the master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfied the hungry.
Heavy duty zircon encrusted tweezers in my hand. Every other wrangler would say I was mighty grand. By myself, I wouldn't have no balls, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
Perfection of a sort, isn't it? Tweezers gleaming in the moonlight.
And then I get a cup of coffee and give my foot a push. Just me and the pygmy pony over by the dental floss. And then I might just jump back on and ride like a cowboy into the dawn of Montana.
That's my favorite part. The background vocals in this song are worth the price of admission. My God. Frank Zappa, Montana, courtesy of Sandra. Perfect timing. And before that, we had the Happy Goodman family. You Can Dine. Once you get a look at the Happy Goodman family, you'll understand why their metaphor for Christian salvation was food. Jesus. Oh, by the way, Kellum just wrote in onto my Facebook wall. I ain't not darn seen my neighbors over there in lot 25 what be for 3 days now. They must have had darn early raptured. I think I'll be taking that lovely lounging furniture and flamingers what they done left behind. I hate it when flamingers get left behind. God weeps at the idea of a suffering, hollow, plastic flamingo. By the way, David in Tennessee noting, Happy Goodman family. Look, Bob, I like larger women. I pleasure myself with a photo of Vestal Goodman in the other hand. My back is aching and my breath is deeper at the very thought. Oh, just Google Vestal Goodman. You have to have a letter. You have to have a ladder for the hair alone. Yeah, I know you can live. Yeah, thanks, David. Dude, let the walls breathe. Let blast of white noise we can live without. I don't know where that blast of white noise is coming from. It sucks a lot. By the way, Brandon noting, come May 22nd, if I'm still here and everyone else has left me behind, then I want the entire state of New York. Now see, David from Maine and Brandon, they're big thinkers. They think on a strategic level. They think on big picture. They're big picture people. I want the entire state of New York. Four seasons, good farming, good drinking water, deer, geese, fishing, rivers and streams and mountains. Yeah, New York will do just fine for me. May 22nd, Brandon becomes king of New York. How's about that? And on to the phones. Listen, time is running out. Get your dibs in. Get your marker down, because you don't want to be left behind and left out at the same time. That just sucks. Have we figured out yet what we're going to tattoo on the back of people's hands and on their foreheads? Personally, I go for the Monty Python approach. Never mind the hands and the foreheads. It's tattooed on the back of his neck. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke, it's been a while, brother.
I know. It's been having just so much fun. Now, is this now anything we want that's from the people who's going up and above that they leave behind, right?
Yeah, we're laying dibs right now.
Okay, I want all the porn.
Well, then you're going to have to work with Clayton because he wants all the hookers.
Well, we'll work it out. That's no problem.
Okay. All right. Well, and then see, it's gonna lead to a whole new monetary barter system.
Hey, hey, wasn't this though the thing a few years ago when it was the Left Behind group, and our motto then was, okay, you can go, but make sure you leave the keys in the car.
Right. And I've got the exotic sports cars. You can have the Chryslers if you want them.
Oh no, thank you. Let's see. What would I take? The electric car,
the Volt, the Leaf, you want the Tesla, don't you?
Yeah.
No, see, that's an exotic sports car. I've nailed that one.
I figured you'd catch it on that.
No, wait, I said exotic foreign sports cars, and those are American made, so I got to be fair, they're yours. They're yours. They're yours,
okay.
Luke.
That works. What's going on in the world? Anything else other than we're waiting to see, we're apparently seeing how all Republicans have just all of a sudden gone sex crazy?
Well, that and Bling Crazy, you know, Newt Blingrich.
It's like, Lordy B, it's like, you know, I'm sitting there going with this thing with the guy with the IMF. Now, I don't think he didn't do it, but I'm just sitting there thinking in my head, why would you wait till you come to New York?
Well,
should have a mistress, a pair of mistresses at least.
You know what's really sleazy, though, I'm, you know, I saw last night that, Ben Stein began attacking the victim, the alleged victim, and that gave me a real case of the creepies. So we've got Bernard Henri Levy and Ben Stein out there attacking the victim. But there's low, and then there's dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy low. The New York Post, which is, of course, a Murdoch property, I do believe. On its, I believe they headlined it even, or cover paged it. They outed the alleged victim as a person likely suffering from HIV. I mean, there's sleazy, and then there's Rupert Murdoch.
No, you gotta go down a couple more levels till you get to Rupert.
Well.
They're sleazy, scummy, scud. He's down there. He's still got a couple. You got a couple more levels to get until you really get down to Rupert.
But I mean, my God, can you imagine that, Luke?
No.
I mean, what utter and complete and total absence of anything resembling integrity, morality, ethics? Pick one. Do you have to be found wanting in to?
You're going to put a definition beside him, because Rupert wouldn't recognize those words.
Well, that's true too.
So, now my question is on the GOP: who are we going to be left with? Is this going to be Ron Paul and Sarah Palin? Is that about it?
You got your Ron Paul, you got your Sarah Palin, you got your Tim Pawlenty.
Yes, Mr. Bland, if not of 2010.
And then there's Mitch Daniels. I think, is he, did I see something that he's headlining a GOP rubber chicken dinner in Tennessee tonight?
Where was it? I can't remember what it was for, but yeah, I remember seeing the name, but I couldn't remember which group it was. Who knows with them? This is, you know, it's some of these things they're throwing out there, like with Mitch. I mean, it's going to end up being probably him and, what was the guy, Huntsman. That'd be good. Two guys that nobody has any clue who they are.
Exactly.
I mean, it's bad when you have.
But Huntsman's out there saying crazy stuff, right?
Well, but Huntsman.
At least as Republicans go, talking about, you know, maybe needing to raise taxes and stuff like that.
That's what I mean. He's one of the ones that they'll have to have. The guy from the tax group.
Grover.
Grover. Had to have Grover have a talk with him.
Well, Grover's already left a horse's head in Tom Coburn's bed. Did you notice that?
Well, ask me something on this, though, about Tom Coburn. why isn't, aren't we seeing more of this on the network news? You know, the fact that, yeah, guess what? Tom may be going to the Crossbar Motel.
Still kind of, I'm waiting for the news headline that says Tom Coburn receives target letter from federal prosecutor.
Uh-huh. Because I say this. Because
he's out there scrambling for all he's worth. I mean, he's got that zero turn John Deere lawnmower that he done got from down to Ferguson Seed and Feed. You know, you just go ahead and try this out, Senator Tom. Try it out for 8-10 years. See if it doesn't. If it don't work out, call us. We got another model. We can be happy to share with you.
He's just a loner. That's all it is. Just a loner.
Yeah, but he's got that thing in overdrive trying to run away from the fact that he pimped. And really, I think it's the appropriate word, don't you, Luke? He pimped the deal between Senator Ensign and the family.
And extortion. How you want to think of it. Oh, by the way, you're going to take this money or you're going to get nothing, you know. I mean, that whole deal is like, you know, guys, this is something that somebody needs to, you know, we need a whole couple of hours on Sunday morning devoted to somebody explaining this whole deal. You know, where everybody can, where the people will listen to it, we hope, we pray.
And, of course, you got to remember that central to all of this, since this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, of course, central to all of this is a group of phony baloney so-called Christians,
mm-hmm.
The family.
Yep.
Who, if you study their so-called theology, you will find out that they believe that they are entitled by Almighty God to get away with stuff that we mere mortals can't.
That's right.
I mean, the whole John Ensign affair is not merely a character flaw assignable solely to John Ensign. It comes from a culture created inside the family that suggested it was okay for him to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, look at the same thing, and you know, it's a different group, but look at the same thing with Arnold. I mean, you know, as he is now, as John Stewart called him last night, the Grobinator. You know, I mean, this is a guy they've known about this for 15 years, and everybody just looked the other way. I mean, you know, there are people that said this, you know, I remember when this came up, I guess it was about 10 years ago, and I mean, you know, they had four or five different actresses, you know, that where he'd been in movies that said, oh yeah, he does that. And he doesn't even think anything about it. He doesn't think anything about it's wrong.
Well, of course not.
That's one of the ones where he just thinks he's entitled.
And see, that's why I hate, among other things, Luke, the idea of referring to Social Security and Medicare as entitlement programs.
Mm-hmm.
No. The right wing and the Republican Party has its own entitlement program, and that is we can do as we please, and the rest of you can stuff it.
Okay.
IYAR. Yes.
Uh-huh. That's the whole thing to it. I mean, it's like this whole thing with all this stuff where, the other night one was saying, I think it was Bill Maher was saying, how is it John Edwards is the evilest man in politics, but Newt Gingrich is still on national television?
Well, you've got that, and there was a story over at Crooks and Liars the other day saying that the New York Attorney General is going to start investigating the banksters.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, rule one, no hookers. Rule two, no hookers. Rule three, no hookers. Rule four, no small aircraft with rule five hookers.
Yeah.
And even if she comes on like gangbusters, you just go the other way, Mr. New York Attorney General. Because you're not hot and she's not that into you. And if she pops up out of nowhere and just thinks you're the neatest thing since sliced Wonder Bread, odds are she's been hired by the people you're investigating.
And there's somebody with a camera within 10 feet of you.
Bingo. About 100 of them.
Yeah. Well, at least one that we know of that's paid by them. Then the rest, they just call them.
Right. Well, no, I figured they want to make sure that they can pull together a 360-degree holographic view, right?
Yeah. Well, what's the thing? Was it E.T. or whatever, you know, where they had that 360 view when they're at the premieres and such? It's like, yeah, that's it. We can sit there and freeze frame it and go all the way around you. It's like, no. Oh, God. I mean, you know, but some of this stuff you just listen to, you know what I mean? Some of this stuff with Newt and this other stuff. And I love the thing where they said Newt had a roll out and a flame out all in the same motion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's more like, you know, I'm here and you're gone. But that's okay. Newt's one that needs to be gone. You know, they love saying Newt's the smartest guy in the world in the GOP. I'm sitting there going, that fills me with a whole lot of hopefulness. Thank you. You know, I still say Newt should have been indicted that thing when they had him 12 years ago, when they had him on that thing down in Georgia where he was going through that teaching that course.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing I love. You know, he's a professor. He's an intellect. He taught at I'm not trying to be an elitist here. He taught at a community college.
And the thing is, the way they had it lined up, essentially, he's in there making money for doing something that written right there in the books it says is illegal. You know, it's like the people with
but it's not it. But he reads that and he sees this is illegal. And then his mind inserts, comma, but not if you're Newt, period.
Yeah. Well, it's all like the thing, you know, years ago when they had the thing with Tom DeLay. And they kept saying, well, he didn't do anything wrong. I said, look, Texas law is real simple. It essentially says you can't give to this group, you know, or the businesses can't. People can, businesses can't. And you sit there and show where they put the money in one account, took it right back out the next day. Sorry. Well, usually, you know, the attorney general calls this the bag man. So, you know, it's called money laundering.
A hard to avoid kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, how y'all been playing now with the weather this week? It's all of a sudden. I thought, which one is this one? Is this Blackberry winter?
Agnes is, bless her heart, she is the same temperature as the air around her, just like some species of reptiles. And she'd already put away the parka that she generally puts on about August and takes off about May. And the parka came back out.
Well, like I said, the last couple of days I pulled out the long sleeve shirts again.
That's flipping cold.
Yes, it is.
And it's wet. And the thing is, it's all relative, too, Luke, because by the time you start getting used to not being cold anymore, then 50 is freezing.
Oh, yeah.
50 is, in May, 50 is 20.
Well, you know, it's like we used to kid about it. We said, you know, said, 50 feels so good in the fall. Said, yeah, but in the spring it feels like ice, you know.
There, yes.
Which way you're going.
Precisely.
So, but you know how that goes. Let's see, what else? Anything else offhand? I saw somebody from West Virginia got into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Really? I must have missed that.
Yeah, it was somebody from West Virginia. Was it Lynch? I can't remember what his last name was. I remember looking through the list, you know, and there was about 15 names on them. One of them was from West Virginia. So.
Huh.
Now, my question is, does Deion Sanders count as one or two because that ego of his is bigger than him?
Oh, by the way, did you see the story coming out of USC, Luke?
Which one's this one?
Kid,
I hope.
Remember Kid Kiffin and the black volunteer uniforms?
I liked those for one time. It wasn't a bad thing.
Well, he's trying to repeat it at USC now.
Oh.
Yeah, that's...
Them people are more intense than we are about that, I think.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. No, because you're gonna have to buy new livery for the horse and new livery for the Trojan, and Jesus, what an idiot he is.
Well, like I say, don't worry, we're about to have another good one. We're waiting to see if they just fire him or shoot the baseball coach.
Oh, really? He's in the hot stuff too. All I can say is, you know, with everything that's gone on, like with Bruce Pearl and so forth, and now you tell me the baseball coach. When does the life support system for a sweater vest up at Ohio State have to go bye-bye?
Well, you know how it is. Apparently they gave him the, oh, we're totally supporting him statement the other day, which means they're greasing the rails. You know, you know, when they tell you they totally support you, that's it. Look out. Bruce's buying.
Well, that's true. That's true. He has our complete support. Clean your desk out. Right.
You come in the next day and your keys don't work in the locks, you know.
There you go. Hey, Luke, it's awful good to hear from you, brother.
Actually, I've been having some fun dental work.
Oh, that just...
So much fun.
Well, the medications alone could keep you away from the telephone.
Well, Well, it's one of those things. Lately, unfortunately, the work's been that way, so I've been, the day I actually got in early, normally I've been getting in about this time, so usually by the time I turn on, I listen to about 40 minutes of everything, catch it on the midnight replay.
Hey, it all works for us. Well, listen, take care and don't be a stranger, all right?
Bye, bud.
All right.
Catch you later.
All right, bye now. From the hills of East Tennessee, that's our buddy, Brother Luke. And rolling in, you guys are laying your claims. This is cool. Jan just wrote in and says, Jerry wants to be in charge of all the pharmaceuticals and the armories. Oh, that's going to be a challenging combination. She says, Jerry wants all the aircraft, too. Now, doggone it, let's not get greedy here. News Ninja Gene says, I want the IMAX and all the other Kindles, and I want Arizona. Ooh. Now, see, Brandon, I think News Ninja Gene was inspired by Brandon wanting New York. And I think we've got our first potential conflict of interest. Because our buddy Joe Ray says, if we're dividing the spoils of the rapture, I got dibs on the antidepressants. I also want a house with good plumbing and a roof that doesn't leak. Wait a minute! Okay, I can share. The Christians, not so good at it. I can do that. I can share a house with a roof that doesn't leak. Of course, since over 75% of Americans claim to be Christians, there should be lots of stuff to go around. I think I'll take the job of minister of get people to come live in America after the rapture, since we'll need a whole hell of a lot of Muslims, atheists, Buddhists, and so forth. Can we give the state of Utah to the Jainists? Well, you know, Joe, you're going to have to move pretty quick, because some damn congressman from Florida has announced he wants to sell 70% of the state of Utah. Did you catch that? No, really. Yes. And by the way, Sandra just wants Big Sur. That's inspiring, really. I get I will be making a beeline for the Florabama Lounge down in Lower Alabama, Cossack. If you want to drive a little bit west from where you are. The first one's on me. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself tonight.
Now, what am I doing, Jim?
You know what you're doing. I figured you would be having a dining out tonight. I figured as much. That's fine. You know, either it will or it won't. And whatever these people want to believe, that's their thing, you know? But what strikes me as being so strange about it is, if you are doctrinally secure, you'll realize that nobody can predict that sort of thing.
Well, in fact, Jim, in the show post to today's program, it points out that verse in Revelations, that no man may know the hour, and he cometh like a thief in the night.
Well, exactly. Only God himself will know, not even the other members of the Trinity, if I'm not mistaken, but... You know, whatever, people do what they want to do.
Well, here's the funniest part of it all, and this one just sort of laid me low. On the one hand, this one group of fundies is predicting the rapture and the end of the world for May the 21st. But meanwhile, if you go over to raptureready.com, they're hustling the gathering of world-renowned experts to join them for 3 days in beautiful Branson, Missouri, for the very first Future Congress on Emerging Threats and Challenges, July the 22nd to 24th, Jim. 3 days, 20 speakers, 10 feature presentations, 16 workshops, a film room with a world premiere, live radio interviews, ladies' luncheon, and more. I guess the guys go hungry. Then again, it's probably going to be them little watercress sandwiches, and you can't fill up on them anyway.
I guess not. It depends on what your selection of hors d'oeuvres might be. You know, they've had these predictions in the past. I can remember reading about the Millerites, and then that didn't happen. Then he had to go back and recalculate. And I think there was an offshoot of the Millerites for the Seventh-day Adventists. And then I remember back in 1970, they had the True Lights, and I actually knew people who sold their property, gave up jobs and stuff like that. One particular woman had a very good job as a vice president of a bank and quit.
Whoa. That must have been a tough one. I mean, that's got to be worse than waking up after a bad tequila binge.
Well, you know, the woman's name was Edith Rush. And, I had asked her about it before this, and she was very convincing and all that. You know, she was convinced, but it's something.
And then you got, and I always remember these people because they checked out long about the time Doodle was born, because that comet, I never can remember the name of it anymore, but it hung in the sky while she was busy coming to Earth. And what was the name of that cult that all wore brand new tennis shoes and all the men got castrated and they suicided themselves to catch the spaceship that was tailing the comet? Remember them?
About Heaven's Gate, Applewhite or whatever.
Yeah, with Applethwaite or something. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. They were gonna, get a ride on the comet. Well, you know, like I say, people believe what they want to believe, and what can I say? And by the way, as far as your Frank Zappa song is concerned, now you got to give me credit for the zirconium encrusted tweezers. I'm the one who first brought that to this program.
You are. You absolutely are.
Absolutely, and you should have played also Dynamo Hum.
You know, we can't do it all in one night, but yeah, Dynamo Hum is way up there on my list of favorite Frank songs.
Or I am gross and perverted, I am sick and deranged, I'm the slime oozing out of your TV set.
Yep, I am the slime. That's from Joe's Garage, isn't it?
That was a Frank Zappa deal, but anyway, I'm not sure about.
I have to bring a story to your attention that I think will speak to your sense of the outrageous, Jim. Since you have already said that you're calling in completely festooned with your tiara this evening.
Well, I wear that all the time. I wear it every night.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Well, dadgummit, I thought we were getting some special occasion treatment here, Jim.
No.
You sure know how to hurt a guy.
Instead of wearing a tinfoil helmet, I wear a tiara.
Is it zircon encrusted?
Of course.
Absolutely. Well, no, I got a story here that I've been,
I have real diamonds, Bob.
Oh, well, of course. Absolutely. Okay, now we know how Newt ran up the bill.
Well, don't tell anybody.
Nobody's listening, okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
You scoundrel, you.
He was bigger.
Down in, you know, the Texas legislature only gets to meet every couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got something like 10 million uninsured people, unemployment burning up the state. You're going to love this, Jim. This is just precious. You know what they've decided is really, really on the top of the critical to-do list for the state of Texas? Now, with, 10 million uninsured, horrible unemployment, schools crumbling, all of that. Now, they did find some state money to fund a Formula One race in Austin. But no, what they're really getting serious about? Fish fisting.
What's that?
Fish fisting.
Fish fisting?
Fish fisting, yes.
Wait a minute. Fish fisting?
Yes.
Well, that kind of takes me unaware because...
kind of knew it would, Jim.
How in the world do you put those two words together?
Generally with a hyphen. Okay, that was smart aleck. No, the Texas legislature is all a Twitter because there's a move on to legalize something called noodling. Noodling. And that is a process whereby one goes fishing without one's rod and reel.
You mean they catch the fish by hand?
Well, they don't just catch the fish by hand. They get under the water and they find them a 60-pound catfish or so, and they jam their hands down its throat and drag it up manually.
I saw something about that, but when you said fish fisting, I said, oh, my Lord.
Well, it is, though.
Yeah, I saw something about that. And you know, some of these catfish, I understand, have fairly good dentition, or what I would think would pass for fairly good dentition. I mean, these people...
Yeah, they've got really sharp little abrasive teeth, and The people who do this, I don't want to get into their psychology, but apparently right now in Texas, it is a Class C felony with a $500 fine attached to it if you're caught fish fisting. And the Texas legislature is moving because, you know, down there they're all concerned with liberty and freedom. And, you know, when fish fisting is illegal, only outlaws will be fish fisters.
I thought I heard of everything, but my God, that's what they call it, fish fisting. Well, I guess so. They stick their fist in the catfish's mouth, and, you know, who knows? Like catfish.
You know, it's awful. That water, because you got to reach into where they kind of hang out, their little lairs. That's why it's unfair. They can't get away. And that water's awful murky, and you just never know what's going to be going on down there, and it is Texas.
My God, it happens. Lord have mercy. I don't know what's gotten into all these people. You know, changing channels quickly here. You know, when Gingrich was on that program on Sunday morning, you know, the guy I thought was making some sense there. You know, about social engineering, radical social engineering on the left and right, and especially on the right. And I was giving the guy credit for, you know, having a little bit of sense, because I've used that term before on this program, social engineering.
Yeah, well, did you see, it wasn't a walk back, it was a dead run back, Jim. And he said, well, I said that because I didn't realize it was going to be full of gotcha questions, and I didn't come there sufficiently prepared to deal with the liberal media and their gotcha questions, and I didn't realize how adversarial it was going to be.
You know, the man would be much better off if he had just simply stood on what he said. Because that's exactly what Ryan is trying to do. It's right wing social engineering. That's exactly what it is. I mean, he used the correct terminology, and didn't have the guts enough to stand on what he said. Like I said, I would have had a lot more respect for him if he had just said, "Well, that's the way I feel. That's exactly what it is." Don't you think?
Exactly. But
I mean, he did call a spade, and then he realized, "Well, oops, I've upset Mr. Ryan and all those crazy people up there in Washington."
And it's not gonna play well in Keokuk either.
No, it's not. And also, I saw where on the table they're gonna cut, or they're trying to cut the salaries of all federal employees by 10%.
Yeah, on top of the freeze.
Yeah. But
at least they're no longer calling it compassionate conservatism.
No, they're not.
That's just
what the White House is going to do about that. I mean, I hope Obama will take some type of stand on that, but I don't know.
Nor I. And that's the thing that is so frustrating sometimes, Jim, is that you wish you could just say, well, this is a no-brainer. This ought to be easy. I mean, you know, you don't screw everybody. But at this point, who can be sure? By the way, I did want to throw something your way. I mean, we're sort of playing with apocalyptic ideas. If you get a chance, and everybody else as well, this thing is far too dense and far too involved to even try to excerpt it on air. But go to bostonreview.net and just search the word apocalypse.
Right.
David in Tennessee put me onto this story, this essay today, and it's absolutely brilliant. The title, it's by Juno Diaz, and that's JUNOTDIAZ. And it's Apocalypse, What Disasters Reveal. And it is absolutely, I think for people who are actually concerned about the fragility of infrastructure and things that we have discussed on a number of occasions on this program, it is absolutely a must read.
Well, I mean, our infrastructure, or lack thereof, is almost apocalyptic in itself, as far as I'm concerned.
Precisely.
And, you know, we've talked about that before. Oh, one other thing about the lady who was allegedly assaulted by this IMF chief. The way it was brought to my attention is that she lives in housing in New York City that it's reserved for people who are HIV positive.
Correct.
And that's how that came out today. That's what I heard.
And, but, you know, it's one of those, you know, have they no decency moments? Because the only people living in that apartment, I mean, the housing authority would not confirm it to their credit, but you can only rent one of those apartments if you are HIV positive. At least one adult, and she's there with, and the only people living there are her daughter and she.
Right.
And her daughter's not an adult.
Well, I thought that was rather unusual. Did that hit page six?
I'm not sure. I think it was. No, I think they used it as a cover story. If I saw it, I saw Jeremy Scahill tweet it earlier.
Yeah, the New York Post is quite a rag. Quite a rag. Quite a rag. Well, listen.
I wouldn't wrap mackerel in it, Jim.
Huh?
I wouldn't wrap mackerel guts in it. It's awful. It's just awful.
I understand.
Remember, they're the ones that gave us the editorial cartoon with the ape that was gunned down.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, I can't remember the particulars, but the editorial cartoonist made it clear that the ape was Barack Obama, and it had several gunshot wounds in it. Somebody will send it to me in a minute. I'll forward it on to you later.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, have a good evening.
All right, and make sure keep that tiara firmly in place, please.
Also, I wear it every night, and also when I clean the toilet, and it just makes me feel so elegant.
I'll bet it does. A little hard to sleep with, though. I mean, it's got to be.
Sleep with it. And I also carry a big bouquet of dried up red stem roses.
No one can ever accuse you of not being sufficiently Southern Gothic elegant, Jim. Later.
See you.
Bye now. Zircon, and no, those are diamonds. Newt, you bad, bad boy. By the way, John Fox has gotten his reservation in. I'll have a couple of line array PA systems out of a mega church or two. 18 active wedges and every in-ear system they got. Post-rapture touring systems. Now see, there's John and David and Brandon out there thinking big, you know, and John's got the entrepreneurial spirit going on here. Post-rapture touring systems. Now that the fundies are gone, let's rock. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Thanks, David, in Tennessee. The caption was, looks like we need another writer for Obamacare. Jesus. Seriously, bostonreview.net. Go and read Apocalypse by Juno Diaz. I assume you don't pronounce the T. I don't know. Maybe it's Junot or Hunot. I don't know. Junotdiaz. When you read it, it's gonna feel a little bit like, wow, I've been listening to the horn, but it's much smarter than anything I could ever be capable of. It's smart, smart. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, so, you know, back to what we were talking about last night about, you know, straight men looking at big women. I see Mildred, she got a lot to grab onto. I'm talking about Arnold's bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his wife, you know, it's like Skeletor. I'm thinking, yeah, I see what time it is with this one. Come on now, Arnold. You never heard, you can't strap nothing on? What is up? What's up? No birth control? What's happening? Anyway, home chick, you know, poor dear, now they're camping out in front of the house and shit.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's terrible. I mean, she didn't, you know, I don't, you know, he a dog. He dogged me. But at least she is getting, you know, paid and taken care of and whatnot. But he's a mess. Wow. Don't they know how to use birth control, though? I'm stunned by that aspect of it. It's so bizarre.
It is.
Edward, you know, it's like, dude, you're going to cheat on your dying wife? Do you have to make a baby, too? I just don't understand. And then this ensign, you know, he damn near raped. He just might as well rape that poor woman. Either F me or lose your job. Hello?
Yeah, I was thinking of it more in terms of human bondage status. I mean,
I mean, you know, fire the husband and you're going to have to do me Well, you going to get fired and I'm going to screw your husband over, too. I mean, that is some ugly shit.
And I'm going to pull your kids out of the private schools that I'm paying for their education in.
No, no, that is so ugly. I mean, that's pretty much criminal.
And Tom Coburn pimped every last bit of the deal.
It's gross. No, I think that story there is by far the most disturbing.
Well, I mean, did you follow the story today, Sandra, about, well, Tom Coburn has pulled out of the Gang of Six?
Yeah, I saw that.
Right, and everybody, you know, there was an interview with him that I heard on NPR and with him, and he said, well, you know, I may come back. Are there irreconcilable differences? Well, I don't know. I'll just, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
That's what you're asking about?
Yeah, we're at an impasse. And I'm sitting there with
just... Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the last two brain cells in my head, Sandra, that still remember what journalism was like.
Oh, no.
And I'm going, wait a minute, why don't you ask if this has anything to do with the heat that's coming from the ensign business?
Oh, no, that's incredible. I mean, tells you so much about what is so wrong. With the media here, it's just not functioning. It's just an appendage of the various policymakers they're talking to. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I find that whole story so disgusting, actually, with that house, what's that whole thing? Is it C Street?
The family.
Yeah, the family. I mean, all of it is so weird with their... nonstop connections with the horrible African leaders to Hillary lunching with them. It's a really bizarre web. But the, you know, extorting sex, you know, because I have power, is just an atypical story in this country, though.
Yeah, and by the same token, that thing that you and I were emailing back and forth about earlier today, our buddy, what's his name again? Kanazawa?
Oh, right, yeah.
Satoshi Kanazawa. This is the guy who wrote the story we talked about last night that got promptly pulled from the Psychology Today website about why are black women less attractive than white women. Well, it turns out this guy, you know, that wasn't just some sort of anachronism for him. This guy trades in this filth.
Right, I mean, he trades in justifying sexism, misogyny, discrimination. He's one of those D'Souza types.
And he's, you know, he is apparently at least tangentially connected with the guy who wrote Freakonomics out of the University of Chicago.
Right, which is another, you know, and he probably hangs out with that Murray, the bell curve. You know, it's a whole group of those social scientist types who make use science to denigrate and, you know, maintain the status quo when it comes to exploitation.
And so, you know, when you talk about the Arnold story, and we talk about the Ensign story, and we talk about Newt and his serial adultery, and, on and on and on, I don't know if people realize, Sandra, but I think it's very, very much a real phenomenon that inside the right wing, especially with groups like C Street, who consider themselves above the law, above morality, above ethics, because God likes them better, there is a culture not necessarily of entitlement but of enablement. And so it was with some chagrin that I began thumbing through this Satoshi Kanazawa's body of work, if you will, when I ran across his blog post. Here we go again. Are all women essentially prostitutes? And I just thought, God Almighty. You know, it's another one of those Bob has a problem comprehending that he lives in 2011 moments.
Yeah, no, but also when you have to think about all that right-wing money sloshing around, I mean, it has to go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And I've realized, you know, in the last year and a half, just how much money is spent on this this putting out these I don't know what you want to call it, but you know, think tanks and the white papers. I mean, it's a whole bunch of bullshit that's out there, but it's all paid for with, you know, the fruits of their free market endeavors. I mean, it's all tied up. You can't separate. But so many of those practitioners, they're all whores, straight up. That's what they are, you know.
Yeah.
I don't believe for a moment that they believe any of this shit. What I know they believe is getting paid continuously. I don't see nothing else to it.
Well, I think that probably rises to the level of religion with them, don't you?
Well, and, you know, when you talk about those C-Street people, I mean, I just had a flash to, you know, Hobbes era, you know, where you had the kings. And, you know, I just think it's, I mean, how much different is it really now, Bob?
Divine right? Not much.
Some new, you know, just a new way of framing that bullshit. That's what it seems like. I don't know, but anyway, the Arnold thing, that's just, of course, that's just blowing up out here. It's just like, oh my
God. I bet talk radio out there is all Arnold all the time.
Yeah, you know, but I just sort of, anyway, I must have to jump to that David Sirota stuff. Isn't that funny?
Oh, that's brilliant. If you've got the time, we simply must run the audio.
Yeah, no, you need to, because it's not that long, but it's fantastic. I mean, you know, he's horrific. Anyway, yes, please, maybe you want to set it up.
Yeah, Sandra sent me earlier today a clip of the David Sirota show from what, this morning?
Yeah, this morning. Yeah, I listen to that show a lot. I quite like him. Anyway, yeah.
So Sirota was taking issue with Big Eddie Schultz and his
authoritarian.
Yeah, who has a? There's an article over at Salon, and you kind of got to do these things in tandem. From Thursday, April the 14th of this year, the forgotten right-wing past of Ed Schultz. And, of course, it's not forgotten here. I've told anybody who will listen that the guy is a liberal because, it was no road to Damascus conversion, Sandra. It was a cold, calculating decision based upon the fact that he could no longer go any further to the right.
But no, but I mean, you remember, because I was watching it when it happened. Remember when he just sort of attacked Mike Malloy in Seattle?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, and that's still out there on YouTube, called Malloy an anti-Semite. And,
it was just bizarre.
And you have to, and you've got to know a little bit of the, you know, there's some other background stuff, like the time that Guy James was doing a radio row in D.C., and I was engineering for him here. And, by the way, I sent both of those pieces to Guy, and he ruined another shirt.
What I sent you?
Yeah, I sent those along to Guy, and I said, you know, fair warning, you know, put a bib on. I don't want any more bills for your designer shirts, because the last time I made him, you know, Guy was doing one of those radio rows, and Ed showed up, and he wasn't at MSNBC yet, but he was still pretty full of himself. And when you work one of those things, it's a line of tables in a noisy room. I mean, we're not talking about anything with broadcast standards. The operating philosophy is keep everybody close together so you can move the guests from table to table to table to table, sort of assembly line fashion. And I understand why you do that.
Yeah, it's a row. It's literally a row.
It is a radio row. I've been to them. Rick Smith has been to them. So Ed shows up, and they show him where, you know, his table. And, oh, this will never do. This will never do.
Do you know who I am, right?
Right. And it's, well, you know, I have a professional broadcasting voice, and I will be far too loud for these other people. And I will drown them out. I must have my own room.
No. Was that the reasoning behind it?
Yes.
Oh my God.
When the fact of the matter is, the guy was intimidated all to hell.
Oh no. Well, you can tell by this bit that you're going to play right here what a bitch punk he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let's see. What was that other clip where he went after? Well, he went after Cornel West.
Well, yeah, it's just sort of, yeah, I mean, and you know, what Sirota was talking about is perfectly reasonable. He went after Michael Moore because Michael Moore deigned to say, oh, maybe we should have brought his ass in and put him on trial. You see what I'm saying? We're not talking about unreasonable things. But
right, and the point is, these are perfectly appropriate topics of the conversation that should be taking place, Sandra, in a republic that is concerned with its own self-government.
No, because I'm not... Yeah, the Obama sycophants are just as disgusting as any other cult of personality in a democracy. It's very problematic.
So Schultz has a hissy and tells and says that the issue is settled and for people to stop talking about whether or not we should have killed Osama bin Laden over there or brought him back here. You know, it's the whole Daffy Duck, you can shoot me now or shoot me later kind of thing. And you know, pure authoritarianism.
No, no, that's what I mean. It was just sort of, you know.
And you know, and the minute I heard this thing, I was reminded of his stance on the bombing of Libya when all of a sudden the people over there opposing Gaddafi, he anointed them as freedom fighters.
Right,
really?
Right.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, it was this morning that Schultz got wind of the fact that David Sirota had criticized him.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, rule one is, and I mean, you know, I'm a little pissant internet radio host who tries to, you know, raise $60 a night. You know, I mean, this guy's making enough money to burn a sopping wet elephant. And even I, down here, you know, in the hinterlands, I understand you don't call other radio shows. You know, a long time ago, I was a Malloy caller. I was a good once a week, once every couple of weeks Malloy caller. But I get 3 hours a night to say whatever I want to say. So I don't take up anybody else's time.
Well, no, but this guy obviously is a thin-skinned jackass. That's the thing.
Well, and it's also symptomatic. For instance, I mean, there's other elements of it too. Like, for instance, Glenn Greenwald. This guy apparently has a network of people who email Glenn. They're talking about you on Big Talk 920. And
oh, listen.
Or if somebody said, I mean, I remember when Matt Osborne got slimed by him on his blog one day.
I didn't realize that. I guess I don't keep up with how bitchy it all is.
Oh, it's horrible.
And so what? Glenn has like a network of followers. You know, that's what I always see about these people with their followers. You know, I'm always weary of that madness.
Well, that's like being on Twitter and they call people your followers and I feel like, ew, I don't want any.
Well, no, it is, you know, no, all of it's kind of, you know, weird. But when I hear about bloggers and other people, you know, writing about issues with their collection of people, it gives me the creeps because, yeah, of course, there's writers that I read and people that I like, but let's keep it straight. You know, it ain't, ain't nobody following. Jim Jones, that was enough.
Yeah, that's all the following I can stand. And well, like talking with Jim, you know, the Heaven's Gate people. Yeah, that's following. You know, Ruby Ridge is following. David Koresh is following.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't, you know, I was 15 when that Jim Jones shit went down, and that left a real heavy mark on my mind. I'm like, oh, no. And so I always, you know, I'm fish-eyeing. I don't care what form it takes. I would not be emailing, all that's like high school. I'm sorry. It's so weird.
It's exactly that. And the thing, and that's what I'm saying. You know, going way back to the bad old days of terrestrial broadcasting for me at America's fifth smallest radio market. I was on from 6 to 9, or 7 to 10. I was on from 7 to 10. And the morning right winger was on from, you know, 9 to 11 or something.
Right.
And dude would spend day after day after day of talking about me. And so, and then I'd come on the air at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening, and do my show, and never say a word about him, and just giggle my butt off, because I was getting all kinds of free PR. You know, in that circumstance, there's no such thing as bad PR.
No, but listen, I really like how Sirota. Anyway, though, it's funny.
Yeah, well, let's
on hold.
Yeah, let's run this. Stand by.
And now joining us, apparently, I guess he may be a listener to our show, or maybe listeners to our show have called his show, is Ed Schultz. And Ed, thanks for joining us. I didn't know you were going to be on the show, but I appreciate you calling in. Do you want to explain yourself on that?
I want to explain myself that I don't listen to your program, and I've been getting phone calls from people in Colorado saying you're ripping me, so I thought I'd call in and ask what's your issue.
Well, I just played you my issue. You used the public airwaves to tell people, great journalists in my estimation, like Michael Moore, that they shouldn't be asking questions of our government. You said that's intellectual liberal hand-wringing, and I think we need more questions being asked, and I agree with Keith Olbermann, who said that we need more questions being asked, and I think that somebody who's carrying the banner of liberalism using the public airwaves, claiming that they're a liberal leader and telling other people that they shouldn't be asking critical questions of legality of their government, I just don't understand that. And if you'd like to explain yourself, I'm all ears.
David, the issue is settled. I don't know if you follow the news or not, but the Attorney General of the United States made a comment the day after.
What a pissy little bastard he is. I don't know if you follow the news or
that's
not.
I mean, it's nothing but pissy. Like, that's what I mean. He's such a wanker. It's like, dude, you sound like an asshole.
Anyway. Okay, yeah, back to the fun.
The operation went down in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, saying that undoubtedly he was killed in a war setting, in a war zone, and it was done legally.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is you're saying that the government... No, no, you excuse me. You're saying that the government, because the government says that... Because the government declares that something's legal. This is... No, this is the problem. This is the problem. No, the problem is that you don't have any... You don't have any loyalty to the journalistic ethos. The journalistic ethos would say that when the Attorney General... When the Attorney General of the United States says something...
Okay, so there's two different issues.
No, there's not two different...
What was that? I'm national?
Yeah, I'm national. He dropped that line. Oh, I have a national show. You know, what do you have? Just some local. You know, and it's just like, dude, you didn't even answer the full... You didn't even answer Sirota's question at all. It's a settled deal. The government has spoken. It's settled. I mean, he just sounded out there. You know, just bizarre.
What it is it's a manifestation of profound insecurity, isn't it?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. A really thin skin, really bizarre, where he has to fall back on, well, I do more than you, I'm bigger than you, and blah, blah, blah. But if you are that big, fool, why are you calling a local show? What's the problem?
Well, you know, there's that, and, you know, one of the things he bills himself as is, you know, I don't have any call screeners. Horse feathers.
And so, yeah.
I mean, he can't handle David Sirota?
Well, no, but see, I don't think he, you know, I guess he don't know who the hell he's talking to, because David Sirota set your ass up. I don't always agree with Sirota, but he can argue a point. So, of course, Schultz going to fall back because he's an idiot. You see what I'm saying? I don't see a bunch of bright lights when I look at Schultz. So, when he's talking to Sirota, I was like, oh, well, here you go. Got his ass handed to him and got put on hold. Shit was funny.
Oh, it's precious. It's absolutely precious. Yeah, let's keep this good fun going. Stand by.
You just said when the Attorney General declares something legal, it is legal. We lived in a country where when the President of the United States said, when Richard Nixon said, when the President says something's legal, it means it's legal. You just said that.
You're equating a criminal to the President of the United States?
I am saying you just said the Attorney General, I'm going to put you on hold here. You just said the Attorney General said that it was legal, therefore the issue is closed. And what I said is that we were a country that when Richard Nixon said, when the president says it's legal, it means it's legal. We were a country that said, that's not acceptable. A journalist would say, I want answers to questions. And you are saying that we shouldn't ask questions. What's your response to that?
Beep.
All right, Ed Schultz is gone. Okay. Ed Schultz.
Brave Sir Robin ran away. Bravely ran away.
Well, it's just, yeah, no, but, you know... I just think he is totally insecure because, you know, his whole stick is fake.
Yeah, nobody seems to recall that that the guy was a hardcore right-winger.
Well, and also, Can you really change that dramatically, Bob? I know it's a horrible thing for me to say, but I'm sorry.
No, well, does the leopard change its spots? Does the tiger change its stripes?
I have to ask because, just the vitriol on his part because someone challenged him, rightly so, because he was coming across as an authoritarian. I mean, what in the hell in this country is settled? I thought Medicare and Social Security was settled, but I'm wrong, right?
Sadly, apparently, yes.
I'm just saying, that's a load. Anyway, I thought that you would be tickled by the whole spectacle, because I certainly was.
You know, he's still associated with his brother in a, because Ed's all pro-union and everything. Last I checked, he's still associated with his brother in a non-union contracting enterprise. That's a man of the people for you.
Yeah, I just think that his problem to me is how are you going to tell other people with opinions of slightly different and put it underneath what all liberals should be doing because of what? Because Obama is in power? I mean, please, give me a break.
Yeah, see, I didn't like loyal Bushies either.
Yeah, right. I'm not, it's not that kind of party. Oh, another thing. I'll let you go because I'm sure there's other people. But, so this Cornel West, that shit is bubbling up.
Oh, it's on fire.
I mean, especially when, with the other black intellectuals popping up now. I mean, everyone is muted by the fact that, unemployment is double in the black community, mass incarceration, and poverty is out of hand. So the fact that it's being talked about is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing, but when is it, but it's being talked about, but it's not okay to talk about, Sandra, and that's disturbing.
Well, no, I know, I agree with you. I'm just saying that it's still coming out in spite of, because of the reality on the ground.
And by the way, speaking of prison, in the other side of the Dominique Strauss-Kahn story, it was last night, I believe, when you mentioned the growing use and the awareness in the growing awareness in the country of the growing use of solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Guess who's in solitary? Guess who had to give up his belt and shoelaces?
Oh, is he on suicide watch?
Yeah.
Oh, we're being told he is?
Yes.
Yeah, listen, that's sort of the torture, the sort of mainstream torturing now, I guess.
Well, I'm just waiting any day for Jane Hampshire to crank up the Dominique Strauss-Kahn Advocacy Fund.
Okay, listen, maybe we should run our own little website for ourselves. No, I won't say that, but anyway, listen. So.
Great minds.
I know, but the thing is that I'm tripping on right now, though, is this is a joke, right? Obama's going to give another speech on the Muslims. Can he stop killing them first?
There is that.
It's so bizarre. It's like I cringe thinking about it. I'm like, what are you going to say?
Yeah, we had another assault inside Pakistani territory recently. Did I catch that right?
Yeah, no, and the thing is, not only that, but he's going to talk about the self-determination of the Arab people in the meanwhile brokering deals that are supplying endless arms to these brutal dictators to use against these people that he's going to be talking about. I mean, it's a sick situation, and I'm offended by Obama if that's what he's running. If he's not going to state any kind of dramatic shift in our policy, I particularly don't want to hear it. I find it offensive because you can't be sitting there talking about what democracy people want and need and then sell billion-dollar weapon systems to the House of Saud. It's gross.
And I find all of this a little bit fascinating just because of the sort of serendipity or the kismet of it all. Me and my lonely Kindle found ourselves, I found myself deeply engaged in a reread of T.E. Lawrence's The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And, he writes with that great white man's burden approach. It was Horst on my Facebook page today who said, it sounds a lot like Kipling talking about the Indian youth in Kim. Mm. And it does. But this stuff is instructive. And you know, before we go giving speeches on Muslim self-determination, might it be handy to understand, like you said, you know, arms suppliers, weapons deals, might it be instructive to understand why there is such a problem for the last 90 years with Muslim self-determination?
Well, exactly. I mean, but the thing is, it's just kind
of... And who's contributed to it?
Yeah, no, so it's... I guess it's just even more offensive when you try to pay attention and you have some sort of awareness of the geopolitical issues, because he is just coming across as, I don't know what, with these various overarching theme talks that he's given while killing folks every other day. It's just hideous. And I'm going to make a point of listening to this shit. See, I'm in trouble now, Bob, because I got a lot of free time for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, dear.
So it's on and cracking anyway. I'm having to pay attention because I...
You're going into the cloud.
Well, I'm not understanding what audience Obama is speaking to, I guess, because who's buying it? Is it the sort of foreign policy establishment? I mean, well, you know, what? Who? And why?
And I don't have an answer for that. I don't know who or what or what. I mean, is this for the benefit of the folks inside what Jim refers to as the Forbidden City? I mean, is this a media op?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, when you see the Palestinians at every border on Israel, you got to be thinking, oh, shit, you know. So I really don't know. You know, and of course I'm always on the declining hegemon. I'm just like, Obama, I don't, you know, what's, are you thinking really going to, what effect is this going to have at this point? I don't know.
Well, it's not going to change any hearts or minds, you know, in the Republican Party. It's not going to make the teabaggers stop screaming about the birth certificate. It's not going to make Newt stop calling him an anti-colonialist Muslim with a deep-seated hatred of white people.
Well, okay, but so this speech is directed...
Is this a response? Is this a response in a way, indirectly, if at all, to the fact that there is a segment of people out there of goodwill, and I think it's important to note that, Sandra, of goodwill, who have misgivings about, you know, assassination plots and who's next? I mean, I saw today that the interim coach of Al-Qaeda has been named. Apparently he hasn't been signed for next season yet, though. I mean, because, and I'm being kind of a smartass about it, but it, you know, it all sounds a hell of a lot more like ESPN than it does any sort of actual news organization.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyway, it's just, it's very hard to follow, but I really, and I need to shift right quick because one of the most popular things right now is hair extension theft.
No, what?
You know, I don't know.
No, people are running by and snatching the extensions off of people's head, or they're breaking in to get the extensions at the salon.
Yeah, they're breaking into the salon. I mean, if this person here had $150,000 worth of the most prized types of extensions, and keep in mind, you know, this is like real hair from India, I think mostly.
Yeah, they go to a temple and get their head shaved in order to please the god.
But anyway, I'm sorry to jump there. I just started taking it back. Oh, God, yeah, $150,000 Houston robbery, $10,000 from San Diego, $85,000 in Missouri, $10,000 from Dearborn, $60,000 from San Leandro.
You know, I hate to think that there's been a meeting of the crime bosses, kind of like in the Godfather, where they sit around and, well, we're moving into hair.
Well, no, this.
You know, but meanwhile, we hillbillies here, you know, that's a much better dodge, a much better gig, I guess, than trying to steal copper out of live electrical high tension wires, you know, which is still big around here with the crack meth and OxyContin crowd.
Well, no, but here's the money quote for this, though. They're selling it to stylists who work out of their house. They're selling it on the street. They're selling it out of the car, said Miss Whoever. People don't want to pay the prices. We'll buy it from the hustle man. It's like the bootleg DVD and the fake purses. But this is a quality product. You know what?
Hey, kid, you want to buy some hair? The first one's free.
No. I mean, but no, trust me. Women be taking the extensions hella seriously, so I say this is a crisis.
And it just goes to show how deep the little hillbilly hole is that I live in, because so far, you know, I haven't heard anything from Agnes or Doodle or Margie or Laura about, you know, somebody offered me some hot hair.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, I'm sorry to go there.
No, that's okay. I got to go read about it now, because, it's another one of those little signposts on the road to the apocalypse.
Right, exactly. Anyway, listen, have a good evening.
All right, take care, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. And we're going to take a little break after that, simply because I've got to play a musical dedication. You know, these moments of inspiration come, and if you flip off the muse, bad things happen. So we'll come back and finish the program with your phone calls. If you're on hold, please stay there. There's time for conversation yet, but hey, from the Horn, America's liberal voice, this goes out to Big Eddie Schultz. It's all about you, Ed. That little old band from Texas.
Liberal hand-wringing, and I think we need more questions being asked, and I agree with Keith Olbermann, who said that we need more questions being asked, and I think that somebody who's carrying the banner of liberalism, using the public airwaves, claiming that they're a liberal leader, and telling other people that they shouldn't be asking critical questions of legality of their government, I just don't understand that, and if you'd like to explain yourself, I'm all ears.
David, the issue is settled. I don't know if you follow the news or not, but the Attorney General of the United States made a comment the day after the operation went down.
You just said when the Attorney General declares something legal, it is legal. We lived in a country where when the President of the United States said, when Richard Nixon said, when the President says something's legal, he means it's legal. You just said that.
Criminal to the President of the United States.
I am saying you just said the Attorney General. I'll put you on hold here.
I'm national. Testify, Ed. You're nationwide. You're bad.
You just said the Attorney General. I'll put you on hold here.
website and call in and ask what's your issue.
Well, I just played you my issue. You used the public airwaves to tell people, great journalists in my estimation, like Michael Moore, that they shouldn't be asking questions of our government.
The operation went down in Afghanistan and Pakistan safe. That undoubtedly he was killed in a war setting, in a war zone, and it was done legally.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is, you're saying that the government...
Yeah, that's some bad radio. You know, from time to time, somebody will say, you know, Bob, why do you say that you won't allow right-wingers on the program? Because I don't want to subject you to that filth. Because what you just heard was Ed Schultz showing his true colors. He is a right winger. And he behaves like one. When he gets pushed into a corner, he begins screaming and over-talking. And that tells you everything you wanted to know. By the way, with everybody out there getting their dibs in on things for the raptured and so forth, I wanted to just point out something to you. Because it's sweet. We're all playing, and I'm taking the Porsches and the Cuban cigars, and Brandon's got the entire state of New York. John's got a couple of killer PA systems from a mega church, preferably Hillsong. And from Jude, I get this. The rapture occur. I'll simply be grateful for the serenity our planet will experience. Since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, may I add my A-M-E-N amen. Can you imagine what a nice place this planet would be without all the fundamentalists in it? Let Jesus have them. He'll send them back soon enough and he'll have to pay us to take them. Yeah, David in Tennessee, that song is so effing visual, it's tactile, a beautician at the wheel and wearing nylons too. John Huston never filmed a scene more easily seen and taken straight to the soul. Brilliant, ZZ Top. Brilliant. And he also notes the crisis is that folks want the latest hair bad enough to risk prison to have the latest. Wouldn't you love that when you got the big hot hair bust, wouldn't you know that your career as a prosecutor was pretty well over? No matter, win, lose. Oh, yeah, that's the hair guy. Jeebus. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Preston.
Hey, Preston, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm happy to report that we're getting a lot of rain here in Denver. It's been really dry, and the fire season started early, and we were kind of dreading a long, hot summer. But it's been raining the past couple days, and things are getting kind of green. And so that's good. And I kind of like the clouds every now and again. It bums some people out, but I don't know if it's from being from the East Coast, from Pennsylvania, but I'm at home with the clouds.
I can't imagine not being when you're, you know, when you're badly in need of rain, because, you know, I think Governor Rick Goodhair Perry would be absolutely thrilled to pieces to see a couple of clouds here and there, wouldn't he?
Definitely, I would imagine. Are there fires still going on?
I'm sure there are. I doubt if they've gotten it all taken care of, but of course, you know that he declared a national day of prayer. And then, as Texas Betsy reported, Preston, the best part of it was he declared a day of prayer, and it didn't rain. And then Barack Obama came down to do a fundraiser, and it rained. That's probably because he cast some Muslim spell on the clouds.
There you go. He probably has contacts with some shaman in Kenya.
Right, well, exactly. And well, or that, or they were, you know, they were terrorist Al Qaeda clouds, bent on revenge.
There you go. Well, I want to say I'm a fan of Ed Schultz, and I heard that exchange, you know, here in Denver, and it's true. He was defensive, and he said some things that, you know, weren't right, and he was defensive and backed into a corner and all of that. But I'm sure we all run into this among our friends and families and coworkers that we disagree with. And I think to be very radical, subversive, I think is to practice some patience and compassion and understanding. And I think that's the only hope of change. If we just embarrass people and ridicule them, I think they'll get further entrenched.
Well, I think there is I rely on you in many ways, Preston, as a voice of ethics and compassion and optimism, and the real brand of hope. But the problem with Ed is that, and this is just my personal opinion. Unlike a Malloy, a Tom Hartman, unlike me, unlike Rick Smith. With Ed, it's an act. It is shtick. It is something that is not real. Because it was economically driven. The man was going to be calling North Dakota State university football games for the rest of his natural life.
Yeah.
Unless he found a shtick, unless he found a gig, unless he found, and the thing is, as the Salon article that I referenced mentions, a guy named Hennen came into competition with him, and that guy couldn't be in. There was no way possible for Ed to ever be more right wing than him. And so then comes your road to Damascus moment, and Ed looks up and says, "Wait. What if I was a gun-toting Midwestern liberal who could speak to the heartland? How would that work?" And then he gets hooked up. Once he has his Damascus conversion, he gets hooked up with an outfit called Democracy Radio that was run by a man named Tom Athens, who was, or was at least, probably still is, the husband of Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow, who is a wonderful human being. She really, really is.
Cool.
And she pulls together a consortium of herself, South Dakota Senator, was Senate Majority Leader, Tom Daschle.
Yeah.
Herself, Tom Daschle, and Hillary Clinton, among others, and they go out and they shake the money trees. Because they badly wanted to have a liberal alternative, any practically liberal alternative, to Rush Limbaugh. Because to their credit, they understood that that's valuable.
Oh, yeah, it was desperately needed.
Yeah, and shortly, okay. Along about the same time, not comparing, but, you know, we started our own little humble project. Air America rose up and then went down in flames.
Yeah.
There began to be a real honest press to no longer cede the field to the right wing. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's a problem involved with what propelled, and I'm repeating things that have been said to me. Okay?
Okay.
But the problem that Ed found himself in was that he was propelled into the limelight by people who, by virtue of providing the propulsion, also owned the messaging.
You know, they sponsored it. I'm sure it heavily influenced him. And I'm sure his years of being just deeply involved in the sports stuff, he's not going to be the most radical guy. And I think he had a lot of, you know, both pressures, both from liberals not wanting him to go too far out there, and then a lot of the right wing saying, nothing, what you're doing is not going to work. I would imagine there there's probably some economic sabotage going on, you know, like the Focus on the Family. They can always organize their congregation, their members, to call potential advertisers or advertisers that are going with Progressive Radio and tell them to stop doing that. So,
I know a little bit about that. That happened to me.
Oh yeah, and it's happened with the Progressive station here in Denver. And you know, I'm just thinking of the obstacles the guy faces in so many ways. And he gets a lot of heat from the left. I have a lot of left-wing friends who don't like what he's up to. And, you know, there will be some feminists who will make some remark maybe that, and, you know.
Well, see, I go back to my thesis, Preston, and that is this. I wouldn't have a problem with any of it if I thought that any of it was entered into in good faith.
He's not pure, but again, I don't think any of us are. I think a lot of it.
Well, there's a difference between ideological, but there's a difference between ideological purity and good faith. Good faith is a much lower standard.
I think a lot of it was motivated by something kind of cool, which was his wife. I think it was his partner at the time who took him to a homeless shelter, and that's where he had a big part of his conversion. And I think that sort of conversion is something that we should be celebrating and encouraging more of. And again, how it manifests itself through the guy's life and his daily show and the TV show.
For the sake of the discussion, I will grant you the legitimacy of that. But I will also say that that's not where the problems end. You know, the topic that he was addressing there with Sirota was a question of whether or not we really are, ultimately it was a question of whether or not we really are free in this country.
Yeah, the topic I mean,
do you remember, do you remember the hissies that were had across those of us on the progressive, I dare not say left because there is no left, but those of us who were very concerned when John Ashcroft said, "You have to watch what you're saying out there." Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, how is what he is saying about not questioning the procedures regarding bin Laden any different? I can't see any daylight between those two things.
I disagree with Ed's position. Don't get me wrong. And I think David is right. To Ed's credit, though, what I found, and I haven't called his show for quite a long time, the timing doesn't work out right, but I've found that his lines are often very open. So where he is wrong or where he may be hesitant or whatever, I see people calling him regularly and disagreeing with him and him giving them space.
Let me admit my own bias. I've listened to Malloy literally since I was a little bitty baby newscaster driving home from CNN at night in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, it was 1987. Okay, that's how far back I go listening to Malloy. And I would not dare speak for Mike, but I consider him a friend, and I know that the man does not have in his body, in his being, the ability to engage in race hate, gender hate, all the things that we know and recognize from the right wing. And to see that video, and it's still out there and easy to obtain on YouTube, of Ed Schultz straight out calling Mike Malloy an anti-Semite because Mike disagrees with the way that the Palestinians are treated, and the behavior, the almost rogue behavior of the Israeli government, from Ed Schultz to have the gall to call him an anti-Semite over that. You know, frankly, I was done with Ed Schultz in that moment.
That's a shame, really. And again, I think Ed is echoing what he's hearing. He's getting a lot of pressure about how to respond. You know, how is it that we respond when we see solidarity with the Palestinians, and it's ugly and it's awful and it's anti-Semitic. You know, the Arabs are Semitic people. You know, but I know I have friends who have these ugly positions, but I can't always discount them, dismiss them, ignore them.
I understand that completely. And Preston, I wish we did have more time, but please let's extend this conversation. Let me put it that way.
We will.
I think it's important. And I really appreciate the input and the view that you bring to it.
Yeah, and I also quickly wanted to say I so appreciated David of Maine's remark. I was listening into your show a couple days ago, and David said something about progressives. This is when people are just orgasmic over the Osama bin Laden being killed, and including Ed and other progressive radio hosts. And David in Maine just said the simple truth, you know, or the great suggestion of get off the war train, I think he put it.
Yeah.
Because that's not progressive. And
yeah, it doesn't go anywhere
and
we want to be.
And between ourselves, between progressives, I mean, we've got so many disasters unfolding. You know, if Ed's 50% right, I'll take it. And I also take his support of people like Norman Goldman and Laura Flanders and other people who are doing good work. John Nichols, he's been interviewing him. He was in Madison. Ed deserves, you know, if we're going to condemn him for some things, let's give him credit for being in Madison all those days and for going after Limbaugh, you know, and stuff like that. That's all I'm saying. But we'll get back on this, and we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thank you, Preston. Thank you for all your insight. I appreciate it.
Take care, man.
Bye. You too. Bye now. That's Preston calling from Denver. One more call. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? It's Jeremy in Pittsburgh, Jeremy Root.
Hey, Jeremy, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Listen, this is off topic, and I must admit, this is the first time I've called because your brilliant callers are a little bit intimidating with their knowledge of things I can't always keep track of. But I just got a call from a friend of mine who told me that there's a hydrofracking well going in right in Morgantown.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, it's in the process of being built as we speak.
And it stands to poison the entire water supply of that rather large, for West Virginia standards, University City.
That's what I get. It's right at the reservoir, and there are a couple of meetings right now, and some people are learning how to protest in civil disobedience, and they will be present when the machines are rolling in.
Good.
And, well, I always, you know, I go down to Morgantown quite often, planning on moving there, and I did not gather that this was the type of community that wanted this kind of thing. And I was wondering if you knew how that kind of thing got in under their noses.
It got in under their noses because there is no formal regulatory structure or scheme within state government to manage it. You know, if a mountaintop removal job is going in, they at least have to put on the kabuki theater of holding public hearings, and then the DEP grants the permit anyway. Well, that process doesn't even exist for hydrofracking. That's why I hate that we're working with so little time right now, Jeremy, but that's why the state legislature in its session in West Virginia this year was such an abominable failure, because there is nothing here. I mean, this is wild, wonderful West Virginia, right? It's wild West Virginia as far as fracking is concerned, because there is nothing, and I mean nothing, to stop them. If you're going to move down there, you need to get involved with the groups that are there and make your voice heard, because you like to think that West Virginia University, you know, that's the home, Morgantown and everything, that there would be this significant presence of young, active college kids. But you also have to remember that in many ways, West Virginia University is a wholly owned subsidiary of the coal and natural gas industries, and the oil industry, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know this from direct experience. I mean, there's a Sierra Club chapter there. I don't think there's enough members to turn over a Volkswagen Beetle, okay? Maybe not a mailbox.
Well, I've seen them go through this process here. I'm living in Pittsburgh right now, and there's a Catholic cemetery down the street that they're planning on fracking at. And I happen to be from central New York, Syracuse, where they've actually done a really good job at not allowing hydrofracking. The Onondaga Indian Nation up there has voiced their opinion on it, and they've gotten a lot of support, and they've blocked any kind of development in that particular region. But it seems that Pennsylvania and West Virginia are competing to be, you know, in the position they were before with the coal and the steel giants.
Right, because there's a whole Stockholm Syndrome dysfunction that attends all of this. Jeremy, like I said to Preston, Let's continue this discussion. Now that you've survived your first phone call, I hope you will be empowered to call again. And
thank you. I'll let you get back on topic.
Well, not on topic. Out of here. It's time to leave.
Oh, right on.
All right.
All right.
Later, Jeremy.
All right. Take care.
You too. Thanks for the call. Bye now. It is time to get out of here. By the way, we pulled up a little short. All we had to do was come up with $40 tonight. We came up with $10. So that'll leave a that'll make tomorrow night $90. Hate to talk about it this way. By the way, quickly, have I got time? Suffice to say, our pal out on the high plains, cowgirl Patty, says she'll take the animals that are left behind and the dollars to take care of them out of the raptured folks' bank accounts. And she does add, as far as Ed is concerned, he's not from North Dakota, but his show here was a right-wing show for many, many years. I can tell you a ton of what he is and was. So it is time to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who makes it all go. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and CoalRiverWind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.